The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Dr. Steve Pettirudi. You're listening to Intellectual Medicine and WPRO. I'm here with Nick, and with my guest host today is John Moore, straight up from New Jersey. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you feeling today?
I feel fabulous.
Now, tell me one of the reasons why you feel so great.
Because of all the great treatment that you've gotten for us.
That's great, though, man.
It's fabulous.
All right, man, I'll get you that check right after the show. Don't worry.
Good. Just like we discussed.
That's right. I'm here with my my guest host is John Moore. He's from New Jersey. He's a patient client of mine and has enjoyed some of the benefits. And we will get a chance to talk about that a bit later in the show. There was an interesting study out of Europe that highlighted some of the benefits regarding hormonal therapies that we want to discuss. But prior to that, we have a very special guest. This is a topic of interest to all Rhode Islanders. Whether or not you have children in the public schools, this can affect you. And I'm going to set it up briefly, and then we'll bring on Representative Justin Price. He's from District 39 in Richmond, Exeter, and Hopkinton. And he has put forth legislation intended to give freedom and power back to Rhode Islanders. The Department of Health has made it mandatory for all children in middle school to receive an immunization against a virus called human papillomavirus, or HPV. HPV is a common wart. The virus is ubiquitous. And that means everybody gets it at some point. 100% of the population will test positive for HPV, more or less. Now, there's an immunization that was discovered and put forth by, I believe it's Merck, it's a pharmaceutical company, that can diminish the risk of this virus being transmitted. Now, the virus, folks, is transmitted through sexual contact. It's the only way you can get it. You cannot cough or spread it through the air. There's never been a school day lost due to this virus. So the objective is to immunize everybody, 100% of the population, so we can diminish the risk of this virus being transmitted. Now, what's so ominous about a wart virus? Well, it turns out that it may be one of the risk factors that contributes to cervical cancer. Cervical cancer certainly is a bad thing, and we want to try to prevent it if we can. But at what price? At the price of exposing the entire population, men and women, to an immunization that has uncertain long-term consequence and benefit. Now, let's set aside for a moment the notion of whether or not this shot is good for you and focus on your freedom to choose. It's your body, it's your prerogative, it's your child. We maintain at Intellectual Medicine that unless there's a compelling and overwhelming health interest for the population at large, we should not be forced to take drugs. We should not be forced to have shots put in our body against our will. Folks, that is exactly what is happening today. And it's insidious in its inception. The way that you lose freedom is not through a frontal assault, but through a collateral hit. They sneak in from the side, and they're going to give children an immunization to protect them from cancer. Who wouldn't want that, right?
Absolutely.
I'd want that. Who wouldn't want that? It sounds so benign until you peel it back and see what for what it is. You don't want the shot? You've got to go up against the man, Department of Health. And they have unchecked power. Rhode Island is one of only two states in the union where the state can impose drugs and immunizations on you without your permission or without your say. And folks, your say is in the House of Representatives up at Smith Hill. And to talk about his attempt to give us more freedom and to allow us to not have to take this immunization if we choose not to, we have Representative Justin Price. Representative Price, thank you for being with us this morning on Intellectual Medicine.
Good morning, Dr. Pettirudi. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, I did give a little bit of a lead-in. Now, am I correct in saying, Rep. Price, that the Rhode Island is one of only two states Would the Department of Health can mandate immunizations without the legislative body approving it?
I do believe you are correct, but Rhode Island is absolutely in that seat of doing that, which you know, I find it a little bit troubling that you know, some unelected officials are actually making such a big decision for the population, where you know, us as a legislative body makes so many decisions that are not as of a big decision.
Right.
Well,
I suppose that back when the legislative body transferred this power to the Department of Health, they imagined that they were offloading a trivial administrative duty. Hey, you know, we're not specialists in healthcare, so we're going to leave it to the experts. And, I heard Representative Mattiello say at one point, well, I don't know much about immunizations. We're going to leave that to the Department of Health. And it struck me that a bit odd. That it's really, you're a bright guy. You are a local product from North Kingston High School, a former Marine, and attended college. You run your own business, am I right?
Yes, I am.
So you know, you're a bright guy. You can learn things. You may not be an expert in immunizations, but it seems to me the job of the legislature to acquire working knowledge about issues important to Rhode Islanders and apply that knowledge in our best interest and listen to the constituency. So tell us a little bit about the bill that you put forth and where it stands.
Well, the bill that I put forward is one that adds a personal or philosophical exemption, which will be the third exemption that you would have in order to not take the immunization or have your children not take it if you choose not to do it. I think there's 20 or 23 other states that give us three exemptions, and one state that has no exemptions except for maybe medical is California.
Right.
Medical is almost, you know, it's really difficult to get. So
So this would pretty much give Rhode Islanders the freedom to make a decision about this immunization, and if they just don't care for it, they can opt out.
Correct. Right. And they don't have, you know, they wouldn't have to use a religious exemption. Because some people might not,
right.
Might not fall underneath that. So if they have a personal or a philosophical reason, or, you know, I jokingly call it, I've read the insert and I choose not to take the vaccine,
right?
Some of the possible adverse side effects,
right,
of the vaccines.
You know, we use my wife and I, Shannon. She's a nurse practitioner. She's my co-host on the show. We use the religious exemption to opt out. And I felt bad doing it because I really don't have a religious basis. It was just me using that clause to save my child from an immunization that I don't think is in his best interest. And it kind of makes hypocrites of us in a way, because I don't remember reading in the Bible anything about thou shalt not immunize. So I don't understand the whole religious exemption. But my fear is that they will allow liberal interpretation of the religious exemption until we fall asleep again. And then they're going to tighten that noose and make fewer people capable of getting out. So I support your legislation. Does it have a chance? What's happening with it?
It was heard in committee, like all the other bills that get held for further study. I think I got a good response from the committee members, as you know, they're all intelligent people and weigh out the pros and cons. And just like you said earlier, that's what we do in these committees. We you learn a lot. You hear, one of three sides sometimes, and make a decision from there.
If I may, too, I want to impose or ask you another aspect of this, and that is my feeling that this represents a form of taxation without representation. When the Department of Health mandates this immunization, we got to pay for it. Somebody's paying for it. And in effect, they can levy a multi-million-dollar consequence without you and us having any say. How does that play?
Right. Yeah. There's no recourse for anything against the state.
No recourse. That's the problem. The department.
Right.
If this immunization, based the way the rule is now, let's imagine the immunization cost $500 a pop, and we're going to immunize everybody in the state. The Department of Health could have that power. They could make that decree. Could they not?
I suppose. They've proven that they could mandate the HPV vaccine.
That's right. And there's nothing that I've seen that will stop them from mandating any immunization that they see fit to impose on Rhode Islanders. They're just taking advantage of a vulnerable population and a bunch of busy parents who don't want to hassle otherwise.
Right. Yep.
So has anybody up there thought about taking control of the whole process? That is, putting forth a bill that would say any immunization that will be imposed on Rhode Islanders has to pass a vote through the House?
I think that would be a great idea. And I think that's the way it used to be before they handed it over to the Department of Health.
That is the way it used to be. You know what? And I think that's a great idea, too. That's why I said it. But, you know what? I want to thank you for your service. And, you know, Rhode Islanders listening, the men and women up there are, by and large, honest, hardworking public servants. I'm putting a plug for all you guys right now, Representative Price, because I think sometimes you get a raw deal. That is, people perceive legislators as being, I don't know, somehow egotistically bent toward their own service. And you are, in effect, and I really respect the fact that you're a private businessman, because in effect, you're a volunteer to the state of Rhode Island. And every day you drive your car or truck up to the state house, it costs you money. And I'm a private businessman, too. And I know that you can't make more hours in a day. So I want to thank you for your service. But, you know, you have my permission, by the way, to take the idea and expand the base of it and command the control back from the Department of Health. We in the field perceive them as having too much power, and I don't think the intent when you transferred that power to them was to have this unforeseen consequence.
Yeah, no, I agree. It seems to have gotten out of hand.
Well, because the immunization business is big bucks now, and it's gotten huge.
Yeah.
Now you've got immunizations that are going to be coming down the pike for all sorts of stuff. Well, thank you for spending this time with us. And that bill right now is in committee, and when we come back from the break, we're going to be telling people how they can help support your bill. Thanks for being with us, Representative Price from District 39, Richmond, Exeter, and Hopkinton. And we will be back. I'm Dr. Pederuti. This is Intellectual Medicine. You're on WPRO. Hey, folks, we are back. I'm Dr. Pederuti.
Great music.
Great music, huh? Like, hey, Nick, you're doing a great job back there, buddy. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah? Does this rain get you down?
I'm a little strange. I actually don't mind this type of weather. Every once in a while, you know? I like driving in this. It slows everybody down.
I like driving in this. So, John, you love that drive up from New Jersey, though, right? 95. Isn't it a beautiful ride?
Oh, it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. But particularly yesterday in the rain, it was exciting.
Now, I think New Jersey is a magnificent state, but people who drive through it, all they see is a turnpike, and they think it's just one industrial swamp.
Which is unfortunate, because they truly need to come out to the west to get to see the mountain area, to get to see the lakes.
But I'm going to give a different take. I think it's good, because it keeps all the riffraff out, right? They drive through and they say, I never want to be here.
That's true.
Rhode Island, we're the New Jersey of New England. People drive through and they say, you know what you drive through? You see the Warwick Sewage Treatment Plant, and you see the smokestacks from the power plant, and you go, Rhode Island, who'd ever want to live there?
Stay out of there.
Same idea for New Jersey, unfortunately.
Okay. We don't want to get too crowded here. We're cool with that. Well, we were just talking with Representative Justin Price. Thanks again for your time. And we was talking about human papillomavirus immunization. And how does that connect to your health, intellectual medicine, and the liberties that we enjoy? You know, throughout time immemorial, governments have used medical labels to rob people of freedom. And it's happening right now. You know, we advocate for patient independence, for intellectual thought, and for creative application of science toward medicine and toward your life. And ultimately, it comes down to philosophy. So let me give you a quick vignette.
Sure.
I had a patient recently, recovering from prostate cancer. And at one point, he was told, you have to get your prostate surgically removed. And he said, I don't want to do that. And as he was getting up to leave, they practically tackled him.
Oh, gosh.
And wanted to impose upon him this need, the requirement. Now, having the freedom to select your pathway, and this was about 8 years ago, he chose not to get the surgery. The point is not whether or not surgery is the best clinical choice based on statistical outcomes, but whether it's the best choice for an individual. Now we've got modalities such as high-dose vitamin C that have got proven efficacy in scientific studies, not validated medically to a level that would make it equivalent to a cure for cancer or other entities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's an evolving area that requires freedom to explore. Now, there was a doctor down in Virginia, and he started to apply intravenous vitamin C for patients that were suffering with sepsis, an almost universally fatal blood-borne infection that occurs in hospitals. And rather than having a high mortality rate, only four of his 50 patients ended up dying in the hospital.
Wow.
IV vitamin C, completely safe, causes no harm. Now, why not move forward with that? If you get sepsis tomorrow, wouldn't you want anything that could help and that doesn't cause harm to be applied?
Absolutely.
So let's open up the floodgate and let Americans and American physicians have the freedom to apply. What we fear at Intellectual Medicine is state encroachment. I mean, all they have to do is say, you know, we don't think vitamin C is clinical standard of care, and they could literally strip that freedom from us tomorrow. And that's why this HPV fight matters to every American and every Rhode Islander. Another fearful fact, you know, and, however you may feel about current political leadership, President Trump in particular, what scares me, John, is I've heard people talking about his mental health.
Yeah.
Now, that's frightening to me because now you're talking about folks, armchair psychiatrists saying, well, you know, we think he may be suffering with blah, blah, blah medical disorder.
Right.
That's a prelude to stripping democracy from him and saying, you know what, we're going to impose a screening test for dementia on future candidates. And if they don't pass that test, they can't run for office. It's insidious, but that could happen.
Absolutely. No, I agree.
You know, we've got to stand up against this sort of thing. We have a right to choose how we want to be treated. I don't give a damn if the shot can help prevent cervical cancer. It's my choice to get it or not. And by the way, young boys don't get cervical cancer. Last time I checked, right?
Yeah.
And last time I checked, zero school days have been lost due to this illness.
Yeah.
So we are not anti-science. We're pro-science. But pro-science does not mean imposing a statistical outcome on us. It means sharing information and having it reflected upon and moving away from what I call intellectual coercion.
Well, doesn't it also provide the patient with an opportunity to have an option?
Absolutely. You know, with the internet now, I mean, you're a bright guy. You read the internet. In fact, we're going to talk about that. Like, do you mind me sharing your age? You're such a youthful guy.
No, go right ahead.
Well, why don't you do? How old are you?
I'm 70.
70 years old. 70 going on 30. And the point is now you can read. If your doctor says, I think you should get your knee replaced, mm-hmm. you can go to the internet and you can read all about it.
Yep.
Well, listen, when we come back, we're going to be talking about somebody who dodged a surgical bullet. And we're going to talk about our surgical preserving treatments. But up next, Doug Lizette.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Hey, gang, I am back. It's Dr. Pettirudi. I'm here with John. He is my guest host. John, how are you feeling? You having fun up here, buddy?
I'm having a ball. This is fabulous.
Well, you know, we always have to leave our listeners with an important tip they can use to better their health. Now, stay tuned because before we're off air, and John, remind me if I forget.
Okay.
Something they must do if they go to the hospital or anybody they know goes to the hospital, a way to help prevent Clostridium difficile, a potentially life-threatening consequence of being hospitalized. You know, hospitals are bad places.
Isn't that fun?
You need to avoid them at all costs. You know, and that's where people, you know, go to get wounded and die sometimes.
Yeah,
I mean,
unfortunately.
They can provide life-saving interventions, but at high risk. I mean, that's a whole other topic we could talk about sometime.
Okay.
But it kind of connects to what I want to talk about next, and we do have a guest coming on. This is S.J. Pettirudi. That's right. The familiarity in the name is not an accident. We have my son on the line from California. Now, a while back, he suffered a torn meniscus, which those of you who know requires, and I'm using that term in quotes here, surgical repair. No other way to fix a meniscus. When it's torn and stays that way forever and it can't be healed. It's kind of like having bone-on-bone arthritis. Ooh. Well, in intellectual medicine, we believe the body's power to heal itself is profound and often neglected to be taken full advantage of by conventional medicine. And part of that is because there's such a rush, a time pressure, and really on the parts of some patients, a desire for immediacy. Well, SJ, he is the creative producer. He worked on Disney's Toy Story Mania. Cam Meek, the artist, he's a featured contributor on the podcast Here's What We Think. And Ned Stark's Talking Heads, the creative man. And important for our purposes, he's a weekend warrior, like many of you. So I'd like to bring him on. Good morning, SJ. How are you feeling today?
Morning. Happy to be here. First time, long time.
Yeah, thanks for getting up so early. Nelson, I know you're a creative guy. You have a lot of different talents. But tell us about the injury that got the ball rolling.
The injury that got the ball rolling was a tear of my left knee that I sustained while I was at one of my cousin's bachelor parties, of all places. We were playing paintball, and I was...
Grown man playing paintball. That's all we need to know, is a 31-year-old man playing paintball. The point is, you get to use your body how you please, and you have a joyful time doing it. So you tore the meniscus, and he's swollen and painful. And did you see an orthopedic doc or a physician to get this evaluated prior to engaging in the treatment that we rendered?
Yeah, absolutely. I had an MRI and definitely saw the meniscal tear. Met with a couple of different doctors to get their opinions about what was the best thing to do.
And what was the consensus opinion?
You know, they were all recommending surgery at some point. There was different degrees of when I should go get that surgery. Some of them were suggesting physical therapy, and I think the second doctor I saw was suggesting maybe let's do some physical therapy first, but eventually you're going to probably want to go get the surgery.
Now there may be truth. The torn meniscus is the meniscus is that little cushion. It's like a felt pad, if you will, between the upper and lower bone of your leg. It's in the knee. And when it tears, it can float around. And have you ever had a torn meniscus, John?
No, unfortunately, I have not.
How are your knees feeling, by the way?
My knees are fabulous.
Good. I'm going to take credit for that, too, by the way.
Please feel free. It's perfectly all right.
By the way, have you read The Cancer Machine yet, SJ?
I've got the last couple of chapters to go. It's fantastic so far. And I cannot wait to finish it.
So The Cancer Machine, for you listeners, is my fiction novel. It's about our protagonist, Anton Thresher, and he's a brilliant medical student who's discovered a cure for cancer through his own creative initiative. And imagine, if you will, how the world would react to such an entity, an inexpensive penicillin for cancer. Wouldn't they all rush to embrace it?
No, really.
Wouldn't the industrial medical complex be overjoyed that this occurred?
Thrilled, absolutely.
They'd be thrilled to lose all their profit, wouldn't they?
Absolutely.
So imagine that happening and put it into motion. Now, folks, I got to put this plug in, Esther. We're going to talk about your knee. for the listeners, here's your trivia question. And if you can call in next week, and if you get this correct, you will get a free intravenous glutathione infusion.
Wow.
Yeah, glutathione is the most powerful antioxidant in the body. It's powerfully restorative. It's part of what we do to help people regenerate. So there you go. You can enjoy great literature and get regenerated. So here's your trivia question. And Esther, you can't answer this because you've already read the book. Where did Anton Thresher first meet Lisa? Where did they first meet? Now, I want to be specific about that. It's early in the book. It's a compelling moment. One of the great passages in American literature, right there. And what was that other book they make you read in high school? You know, the one with the fish? What's that book? The whale? What's that thing we all have to yawn through? I maintain that Cancer Machine should be right there in the high school required literature.
Oh.
You know what? Hey, maybe I can get the Department of Health to require The Cancer Machine to be purchased by every American student.
Why not?
Can I do that?
Absolutely.
It's good for their health.
It certainly is.
All right, SJ, back to your knee. So that was a sincere offer, by the way, folks. You can download the book. You can buy it on Amazon. Right now it's only available by Kindle.
Kindle, yes.
But it will be out in paperback soon, and I'll be coming to a neighborhood near you for book signings. It'll be very exciting. SJ, the knee, tell us how you felt at that. Now, we did plasma injections, and we did nutritional support, and you implemented some exercise interventions as well. How did you feel before all that, when the knee was first injured?
Oh, I mean, it felt like a severe sprain. I was pretty limited in my mobility. I had trouble just walking. There was severe swelling. Definitely wasn't able to do any sort of running, and certainly playing paintball again with my young cousin.
That's important. We got to get
completely out of the question.
So, tell us how you're feeling now. Give us an update, because you texted me about your running, and you ran a mile, and you did it pretty well.
Yeah, no, actually, last night I ran 1.8 miles. Wow. So, yeah, I
drove that once in my car.
Yeah, really? I drive that every day to the gym, actually.
How did your knee hold up?
It feels good. You know, I mean, I started small and I started, you know, modestly. I live in the city, and so I don't have a ton of soft terrain to run on. But I was at a place where I was literally walking the, you know, quarter miles that I had to walk to get to my gym, and I started just, you know, one block at a time, literally, like.
So slow implementation. Now, we did two plasma injections about a month apart. Was the process of getting the plasma injection painful, as you recall?
I mean, you and I have shot my knees up, you know, several times now with things that I need to have to make sure that I can still keep going. So I'm no stranger to, you know, the injections to make sure that we're draining fluids. Or nah, you're talking to a guy who's had, one ACL repair, a meniscal repair, a PCL repair, you know. So
pain, I mean, you're no stranger to pain. So it was well tolerated. Well, I'd like you to hang on the line with us. We're gonna continue our topic. Can you keep an open line with us?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because the knee procedures that we did, and Our philosophy at Intellectual Medicine is that the body has compelling healing powers. And when you combine the right variables, in this case, we did a plasma-enriched injection, mm-hmm. the platelet-rich fibrin matrix. When we take the blood from the patient, we spin it out, separating the clear plasma from the red and white cells, and it can be re-injected. That has healing dynamics. There are growth factors in those platelets that can enable the joint to heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
However, you need to combine it with other elements. In some cases, nutritional supplements to give the body what it needs to repair itself. In some cases, even hormonal support.
Yeah.
The one thing that SJ did exceptionally well was build the muscle mass around the knee. Now, any joint you have, whether it's your knee, your back, your hip, you pick the joint. It's the muscles surrounding it that provide most of its support. Now, John, you're doing a treatment including hormonal therapy.
Correct.
And we did notice when we did your body mass analysis an increase in muscle mass.
Significant increase, actually, yeah.
Now, that shouldn't happen when you're 70. You should be withering. You should be shrinking. You should be getting weak. And the reason I pointed out...
But I was before we started doing this.
Well, and now?
Yeah, right. No, everything is returning. I feel great. I work out with a trainer a couple times a week, and she's noticed the improvement.
Improvement. I like to put all these pieces together. Now, in a young, healthy athlete like SJ, the hormonal therapy is certainly not critical, but combining these things into one whole preserves joints and vitality. You know, if your knees go, you're soon to follow.
Right.
Now, most people don't get that kind of patient advice, and I'm pleased for the surgeons, SJ, that gave you a tempered feedback. And let's put this in its proper perspective. A great surgeon at a critical point in your life can be life-altering and beneficial to you. And there are brilliant surgeons in the state of Rhode Island. We have some of the leading orthopedic surgeons in the country serving us. However, their scope of focus is on your joint. I maintain that joint health requires a systemic approach. And in Intellectual Medicine, we have developed a joint rejuvenation program that can be applied to knees, to hips, and to backs and other joints.
Hmm.
And it's a combination, in some cases, of plasma injections.
Yep.
With the right use of nutraceutical and oftentimes hormonal support necessary to get the muscle developed. I've heard too often people say, well, I need to get my knees replaced, and when I do, I'll be able to lose weight and exercise. False priority. Well, listen, we're going to have to take a break, and when we come back, the last segment, SJ from California checking in with your healthy knee. We'll check up periodically. I am Dr. Pedrudi. This is Intellectual Medicine. We'll see you in a few minutes. Go on, rock, we're pushing out X-rays.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Small Business Saturdays with John Laughlin. Tune into the John Laughlin Show this morning during his new time slot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Join John as he talks about local retail and small business in our community with Joyle's Liquor and Mr. Havana Shop in West Warwick at 11 and Cox Business at noon. Brought to you by Navigant Credit Union, NavigantCU.org, and WPRO.
Well, I am back. It's Dr. Pederuti. You're listening to Intellectual Medicine on WPRO, the voice of Southern New England. I'm here with my guest in studio, John Moore from New Jersey.
Good morning.
Not only a brilliant man, a former Vietnam veteran, but a progressive thinker who's taken advantage of some of the modalities at intellectual medicine.
Absolutely.
To rejuvenate his quality of life. You know, I want to talk for a moment about the rectangular lifespan. But before I do that, thanks again to SJ and his knee rejuvenation.
That's terrific.
It is terrific. You know, John, we've had so many patients come to us with bad joints, leave with good health, without surgery. And if needed, surgery can be applied. But please, folks, before you get that perfectly good biological tissue tossed into the trash, come see us, save that joint. There are things that can be done to preserve vitality, but they're interlocked. You cannot heal a joint just by addressing the joint.
So surgery isn't necessarily the first option.
Not at all. It should be the last. In fact, studies have validated that unless you have very severe advanced and irreparable arthritis, a joint replacement offers you no advantage. Mm. And even these minor procedures you need to be wary of because they can lead to complications. And a non-emergent surgery should always be approached deliberately and explore options. And this is intellectual medicine's core being, where we take science and we apply it in a creative manner to achieve outcomes people didn't think possible. We've had more than one bone-on-bone arthritic patient revive and turn about and not need surgery and have their knee extended.
That's fabulous.
You know, and if you do end up with surgery, boy, you're coming from a stronger platform. But remember, while we're keeping you healthy and while we're keeping you alive, it's so you can enjoy the joy of living.
Yep.
That's the most important thing, right?
Absolutely.
That's
why we're here.
My dad always said, he's a family doc, he said, nobody gets out alive. And he was right.
That's right.
And, you know, if you live 120 years or 80 years, when you're dead a trillion, mathematically it's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, quality becomes core. And part of that quality means enjoying life, and that means great literature.
Oh, really?
And great literature means The Cancer Machine.
Nothing like a good book.
My first fiction novel.
Shameless plug.
Yep.
You like how it came sideways?
It was good. It was a good approach.
Not bad.
Glass of wine and a good book.
Available on Kindle. It's a page-turning thrill. And you can win a glutathione infusion push just by telling us where Anton Thresher meets Lisa for the first time. Compelling characters in American literature. So we're talking about knees and we're talking about hormonal health. And folks, it goes beyond any simple one-note remedy. Now, I've seen these places crop up where they're men's health and they're going to give you hormones, right? As if that's the panacea.
Yep.
And you know, because you've received it, that there's a myriad of benefits, but things have to be interwoven. A study done, the European Male Age Study, they're tracking men for 10 years, and they found that there was a 5-time increased mortality in men with low testosterone, including cardiac mortality. Simply put, if your T goes down, your risk of death, disability, and infirmity goes up. Now, what are the symptoms? Well, the clear symptoms are loss of erectile health, loss of morning erections, and loss of sexual thought. Now, folks, think of these issues not in the traditional vein of recreational sexual pursuit, but rather as a sign of life. Whether you have a partner, whether you are actively engaged in sexual activity or not, isn't the point. It's that this becomes a vital sign. And when you lose that modality, when you lose that function and that interest, it's a sign of impending infirmity and loss of vitality. And the same holds true for women. Now, we may not have time today to expand on the studies regarding women and testosterone, mm-hmm. but it is a fast-moving field. And we have seen revitalization in women on astounding portions. Muscle mass, brain energy, vitality, happiness. Doctors that are doing intellectual medicine and are applying this in a balanced manner are seeing all these attributes. the studies are too limited. They just look at testosterone. You have to look at it more broadly. And it's our feeling that either you will get those hormones replaced properly in a balanced manner, or you're going to suffer the consequence. And when you bring it all together, good things happen.
Suffering the consequence is an unfortunate circumstance if the opportunity exists to help you enjoy life.
Right. So, I was out the other night, our last night in East Greenwich. We live in East Greenwich, folks, and we are moving today to the beautiful city of Providence.
Why not? It's raining. It's windy. It's a good day to move.
Well, that's why Shannon's not here. She's home loading boxes, right? I got the good deal. I get to talk on the radio with all you beautiful people in the state of Rhode Island. So, Nick, we're going to Providence, buddy. How cool is that, huh?
The city of Rhode Island. You know,
it's a magnificent city.
I love Providence.
I do, too. I think it's really the heartbeat of the state, and it's really...
it's a beautiful city.
As goes Providence, so goes the state. So we're going there, and by golly, we're going to become active citizens and help advance the cause of Providence beauty. So it'll be a cool thing. But anyhow, back to the topics at hand. Mm-hmm. In this European study, they found that those three symptoms were most compelling, but that the replacement of testosterone is still perceived as controversial in the eyes of some. When you replace all the hormones in a balanced fashion, vitality ensues. So the other night I was out, and an old high school classmate approached me, and she said, you know, I listen to your radio show, but as far as living 120 years, mark me absent. I don't want any part of that. And really there's a perception that living long means somehow an extended infirmity. Not living well, an extended old age. Mm. The rectangular lifestyle, folks, is what we are driving for. Now, we are advocating the 120-year lifespan, and we mean it sincerely. We believe that that can happen, and our belief is supported by scientists in the leading field of anti-aging. And the consensus is building that 120 is a real goal that's going to be happening. But you're going to get there by preserving your vitality. The rectangular lifespan is something like this. One day they go, hey, where's Steve? Yeah, Dr. Pedroni, he was supposed to be here today. Oh, you didn't hear, man? Yeah, he died last night. What? At 120, at 110, right? The day before you die in the prime of your life after a brief illness, a couple days gone. That's our goal. I know it sounds bizarre to engineer death in that manner, but this notion of a long infirmity, you know, lying about in a nursing home is what we're eliminating first and foremost.
Improve the quality of life.
Absolutely, and it starts in the moment. And when your quality corrodes, it's time. Take action, America and Rhode Island. This is Intellectual Medicine.
Have a great
day.
Here
with John Moore. Thanks, up from New Jersey.
Thank you.
You got to check in with us now and then. We'll see how the drive... Your drive has gotten longer, though, right?
Yeah, it has. Thank you.
That's worth it unto itself. Hey, Nick. Great behind the glass. Thanks a ton.
Nick, good to meet you.
Well, thank you. Nice to meet you as well.
And thanks to everybody in Rhode Island. This is Intellectual Medicine. Up next, the Big Blue Bug Solution with Tony DeJesus. I'm Dr. Steve Pedaruti. Goodbye, everybody.